Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi, welcome to today's Irish Tech News Podcast. Who have you got in today's podcast?
Faircrow Corey from Bill Winner.
Hi, Faircrow. How are you doing? Now, before we start, tell us a bit of your background so we know who you are.
I've been in startups for the last 10 or 12 years, and before that, multinational sector. So working for Salesforce.com, VP of sales there, and loved my time there, but also got the excitement of watching a company growing from the start, the early days of Salesforce in Europe, right through to post-IPO, and always feeling I wanted to put that into practice myself and start my own business and grow that into a globally scaled organization.
So that's interesting. You're a well-seasoned entrepreneur.
I would say so at this stage, yeah.
And you've been there from there, like, very beginning. Like, you probably saw the dot-com bubble 20 years ago and how things have changed since then.
Yeah. Salesforce was lucky in that it was kind of started really, you know, in the dot-com bubble, you know, when it was bursting, and that really helped us make sure it was doing the right thing. So it didn't have too much money that it was doing or making lots of mistakes and hiring lots of the wrong people and all of that. But yet it was at the right time for the company in terms of the internet was really exploding, etc.
So that was a
good lesson. And that's happened to a lot of startups, like a lot of global names like Cisco and Microsoft and IBM before that actually started in recessions.
And it
opens up customers to new ideas when it's a recession. So people are looking for new ways of doing things. They're not doing business as usual. But also from the company's point of view, the funding is tighter and they have to be more careful with the money they get and make sure that they're executing well with the money that they have.
Well, I'm thinking of something like Zoom. Zoom, we took off during the pandemic. It had been around for a while, but that was the right time for Zoom.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they really did become a verb in that time. It was just everybody needed it. It was the market leader in that space. And really, actually, when you think that there was other companies doing it, but their technology was superior. It was just you didn't need to download something big and clunky. And it just seemed to work on every device.
Yeah. I'm thinking, for example, at the time, I used to use Skype a lot. But I haven't used Skype since, because when I was doing podcasts, first of all, years ago podcasting, I'd be normally ringing somebody on a phone number. And by using Skype, you've got these cheap deals to make these monthly phone calls. But nowadays, everyone's by computer and they're using Skype or the by a mobile device. And they've got Zoom on there. So Skype is gone. Skype is now basically Teams, more or less. But I find Zoom is a lot more resilient and better than other products.
Yeah. And it's hard to say what it is if you're non-technical, like what is the difference, but it just works better. And the experience of it on different devices is smoother.
Yeah, because I've had issues before on my Mac when I was trying to use Teams. It wouldn't let me use the app. I had to go on and use it on the web-based version, which I find is very annoying that it doesn't work as it should do. But it happens.
Absolutely.
Now, getting back to what you did, tell me a bit more about Bill Winner and what it does.
Well, I suppose we all have the problem of having lots and lots of bills and in lots and lots of categories. Some of the categories have been around for as long as money, insurance, utility bills of different kinds, and that kind of thing. But then a lot of new stuff in terms of subscriptions and memberships that people just didn't subscribe to things, even including Zoom. So you've all of these renewals that people are trying to manage as well. And myself and my co-founder Cormac were thinking, we've all of these different things now that are recurring bills. And, we're often getting introductory offers, discounted pricing, free trials, etc. But are we managing them then to make sure we're getting the most of them and getting the best pricing we can whether it's your electricity bill or whether it's a webinar tool. And we kind of realize, no, we're not actually carefully managing these things. And it adds up, you know, that what seems like a low monthly cost, when you add it up to a year or a few years, starts to be expensive. But there isn't that trigger point for people to actually shop around, because they just think, oh, yeah, it'll just keep auto-renewing. Or even electricity or a mobile phone plan, you get 18 months of low or competitive rates. And then you get to the end of the 18 months and rates change without you noticing.
Yeah.
So the thinking with BillWinner was, can we track everything like that? So everything a household might have, whether it's mobile phone bills or subscriptions of various kinds or electricity or gas or broadband or TV plans or whatever it is. Can we track those first and foremost? And then can we make sure people are getting the best value when their contract is up? We thought long and hard about that, like, where would we get that? How would we know? But then it hit us, well, actually, if we're capturing all of that information about what people are doing, if they're telling us and keeping the data about, well, I shopped around 6 months ago and I went with Energia, or I went with One Big Switch, a comparison site, I found that was the best value after shopping around for half an hour or an hour. And now remind me in 18 months to shop around again. Well, what we actually start doing then is saying, well, could we feed that data back, crowdsource that information, and tell people, well, currently, people who've shopped around, this is what they're doing. So we create leaderboards then for all of the categories that we're in.
Yeah.
And we tell people, well, when people are shopping around, here's where they find the best value. And we look at it, what provider are they getting the best value for? But we also look at the best brokers and the best comparison sites even. So we compare One Big Switch and Bonkers and Switcher and look at, well, what one of those do people buy off, or the provider or the broker, if it's insurance, that gives them the best value in whatever category people are shopping around in.
So I guess what it is, you're making sure you're not biased towards a certain provider, a certain organization.
Yeah. By covering an awful lot more categories, we're not depending on a big deal that is all of our revenue.
Yeah.
We literally try to cover every single thing at the national level and at the local level, and bring the best value and the best pricing and the best customer service in all the categories, whether the business is partnered with us or not. So whether they have given us any kind of commission or anything like that, we want people to tell us, where did you get the best value? And we present that back on leaderboards to and even who's signed up for a bill winner.
Yeah, that sounds good. And also basically, I can as we're now basically more or less online based, this is more important for your website, because people can see on their smartphones instantaneously what's going on.
Yeah, it works really well. And again, that's kind of a timing thing. The technology for presenting web-based apps on phones, universally on different platforms, has really, really improved. Because we're a relatively new company, we're able to leverage that technology, single page architecture, that makes it really easy to use on a phone or on a desktop.
Because I'm thinking basically 20 years ago, not everyone had a mobile phone or had a computer. But now they've got both, and a mobile phone is a computer.
Yeah. And they're getting more and more powerful for people. So that is that's a huge part. And it's, you know, I mean, we still definitely have people that want to shop around for something, you know, where they're doing a lot of data entry. They might want to do that online on a desktop or a laptop, but also just doing it while they're, you know, especially if they're just looking for a leaderboard to give them a simple answer.
Yeah.
It's, okay, I want to see leaderboards in these categories. I have home insurance, I have car insurance, I have broadband, I have energy, and I have maybe a streaming movie subscription.
Yeah.
Who's the top of the leaderboards in those categories? Then you might want to start to filter down and say, well, what about people my age or people in my area or people with my driving history? And sometimes people want to do that online on a desktop or a laptop where they can type in more information. But, you know, we see both of those types of user.
And also, I'm thinking of somebody who's on a commute to and from work in the morning or evening, they won't be able to do this on their phone. And so when they got home or got to work, that's been taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah, and the hardest part is actually shopping around for all these places. So, you know, doing the data entry on 5 or 10 different sites. And that's kind of a fantastic thing about what has happened globally now. There are so many comparison sites and brokers And it's so easy to find them. But the real question then is, okay, well, how long am I prepared to spend shopping around? And where should I, what should I include on my list? If I'm going to enter the data in multiple places, what places should I look at? Do I just go to one comparison site, one direct provider, or do I go to 10 providers or 10 comparison sites? And people just don't want to do that. So what we know, and we all have all done it, where you say, I'm outraged by my quote, I'm going to shop around. So you spend an hour shopping around, and you get a lot of frustration in that, in terms of some people won't quote or whatever it is. But, you know, when you've done that, if you feel like sharing that information with people, you can share it on BillWinner. So other people don't have to do that. But then you mightn't have to do it in another category later on, where you just don't have the time in 6 months to shop around for something else that you're off contract on.
And also, you feel like I don't just to give these people all the data about me when someone's already done that on my behalf, more or less.
Yeah. That's it. Once you've put the data into BillWinner, you can say there's two ways of using that data yourself. You can actually say, I just want to see offers from people. So there are people who want to get to number one on the leaderboard in BillWinner.
Yeah.
And you can just say, well, I can click on an offers tab and see offers that are been made to people like me who meet my criteria. Or you can say, well, actually, I'm going to pick these three businesses and I'm going to request a quote from them, and my data will go out to them and I will get a quote back.
Yeah,
exactly. For me and my exact criteria.
Because these days we've all got busy lives. So if you can do this a lot quicker and seamlessly, it's even better.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's something nobody has ever pushed back and said, I don't think I should do this. This isn't, I won't save money if I do this. Everybody knows there's a lot of money to be saved.
Yeah.
And more money to be saved if you haven't done it for a while. But it's then, but where do I start? You know, like it's drudgery. Like, I don't want to do 10 sites, you know, just give me one or two, or ideally tell me the best for people like me. And if you can take that pain away for people, but yet they feel smart about themselves, like I'm doing something smart, you know, I'm letting someone else do the heavy lifting, a platform that's sharing the data and insights from people. You know, it's something that takes something that is horrifically boring and tedious for people and making it something that is leveraging the community and people working together and makes it a bit more exciting or interesting.
Because for me, times you procrastinate. I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. You put it off, but you can do it today. Manana. And you're thinking, I'm only saving 20 euro. And then you figure that if you do this, every time you're saving 20 euro, that 20 euro is going towards, you can go to a holiday or something important that you want in your life.
Yeah. And they add up. And the other thing that people tend to do is if they do find out, well, the quote jumped a lot, or I talked to someone down the road and they're paying nothing like what I'm paying. But you could then get outraged and you shop around.
Yeah.
But you feel, oh, I did shop around, but it was a while ago, but I can't remember how long ago. So just, you know, before you know it, actually you shopped around 3 years ago and your price has gone up a lot since then. Or maybe someone new has entered the market. And it's just getting that reminder that, look, here's a leaderboard for some of the categories you have purchased in the past in.
Yeah.
Do you want to click on number one leaderboard, or do you want to do a bit more shopping around? The choice is yours. And if you want to, you can tailor the data and see a leaderboard that's tailored more for you or not. You might say, well, I just want to see cheapest place for home insurance in Ireland or highest claims rating in Ireland, whatever it is. But if you want to go and get more custom data, you can say, well, I live in this type of house in this area with this history.
Yeah.
And it starts to tailor the leaderboards down to people in your circumstances.
But also you might realize, like, for example, you might have a scenario where suddenly you've got a bigger family than 2 years ago. And when you get a bigger family, costs are going to increase, and you might think about that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it can be changing your own circumstances or changing the market. And, you know, that can easily be 20 or 30% that you can save by shopping around.
Because the worst thing is when you're sitting there and you've got one kid and suddenly you've got four kids and you don't realize, oh, if you have private insurance because of a wife or anything you've got now, insurance, other costs are going to increase because you have more now using your utilities than you did before.
Yeah. It's not just the lights getting left on. It's the showers and everything else.
Yeah, and as your kids get older, they'll be using your Wi-Fi as well.
Yeah. You get the demands that we must have gigabit Wi-Fi. Yeah. It's now on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Yeah. Down at the bottom, Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And then as you get more and more using the Wi-Fi, you try now look for somebody that gives you unlimited bandwidth and unlimited data, because years ago, that was a pipe dream. Now it's there. You got to make sure that your provider is giving you that. And then don't have some get-out clause, very small prints, that you're going to fall foul of as well, which can happen.
Yeah. And I think that's where the power of the crowd really comes into it as well. That, you know, somebody might have read the small print or had the experience of they thought one thing and then they phoned up and find out, no, it's not unlimited. It's limited in these circumstances.
Yeah.
So one of the big things we're doing, apart from crowdsourcing where people got the best value, it's then the insights as well. So there's a forum where people can say, look, I'm just worried, you know, is unlimited? Or I was abroad and I got a huge charge. Has anyone else had that experience? And those insights are a really important part of it as well. And just creating transparency.
Yeah, because years ago, I used to remember of ESAT No Limits. This was back in the early 2000s, and it was an internet provider that gave you unlimited internet access on dial-up.
I do remember that.
I used to use that between about 7 in the evening and about midnight. And I got banned for overuse.
And
then it said, oh, there's something in small print, or you're using too much. Jay, well, hold on, I was paying like nearly 20, 30 quid a month or a year a month to have this, to not be worried about that. And I even got a phone line installed in my parents' house for me to go online, so it wouldn't be affecting their phone line as well. So I got all this done, and then suddenly I'm told, And nowadays, people that want this scenario were like me, suddenly they realized, oh, there's a little tiny clause that you've actually invoked because of your overusage, and suddenly you can't use it anymore.
Yeah. And it's still happening. It's still happening in lots of different categories, you know, where unlimited doesn't mean quite what people think it means. And that's something we're passionate about, Cormac and myself, just in terms of, you know, we're not looking for the cheapest price. We're not trying to crowdsource that. We're trying to crowdsource the best, and, you know, with no gotchas and with, you know, insights from people about, well, why do you pick this service, whatever it is?
Yeah, because when someone says to me cheapest price, that to me shouldn't be your main consideration. It should be basically, am I getting the value for money? Value for money could also mean that I know that when I'm using it at a certain times, peak times, is not going to be an issue. Like if you've got broadband, the internet won't go down. Or if you're using something and you realize at night time, if I'm using to, if I do my washing 2 times a day, I'm not going to get charged more.
Yeah. And that's I suppose you're getting into the kind of more intense users of things and the kind of different categories or different subcategories, we'd call them, where you're trying to look at, well, I want to get data, not just about the best broadband in Ireland, but I want the specifics of it for people like me. And, you know, what we do is we're adding more and more criteria to say, well, I'm a high-intensity user, I'm a low-intensity user.
Yeah.
What do people like me do? But you're reminding me of my favourite Warren Buffett quote is, price is what you pay, value is what you get. And they can be very different.
Because to me, I'm always thinking that, for example, if somebody is using this service, they want to also know as well how good it comes out. If I have a problem, how quickly is it dealt with? Or am I dealing with a chatbot or a real person? Or am I going through a phone line? We have to go through 10 different options before you speak to somebody.
Yeah. And that's as well as having the leaderboards, we have business pages that show specifics about that business and rating them in terms of, if it's insurance, for claims, actual claims ratings, that when you do claim, what's the experience like? Or we're looking at ease of renewal as well, or ease of cancellation. That can you, if you do sign up for something, can you cancel?
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to phone somebody on a Sunday at between 4:01 and 4:06 p.m. or something. You know, that is the whole experience of being a customer or cancelling being a customer seamless.
You know, so you said, mentioned about insurance claim. I'm thinking of somebody who's in a car accident and need a replacement car. And normally some insurance policies, they give you a higher car replacement, But you want to know how long will it take you to get that car. So if, for example, you need the car ASAP, will it arrive when you need it? Or was there a long wait time for it?
Yeah, a good point. I don't think we asked that question at the moment, but what we're really looking for, we've built a world-leading product in Ireland that's being used now in different countries. And what we're looking at is building up the data set. So we've built up data on key categories in Ireland and in the US. And what we're doing now is adding more and more users and getting more granular with those insights. So that's the phase we're on, is showing people what the kind of tipping point for us was. I always said to Cormac, you know, it's great that, you know, I think what we're doing, it sounds absolutely and utterly phenomenal to crowdsource all of the places people are going for the renewals. But I said, but we still have to be better than Google for people to use Billwinner instead of Google.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of months, I'm seeing that when you go into Billwinner and you say, this is the type of house I have, or this is the type of car I drive, even just engine size, you're now getting better results than you do on Google.
Yeah.
When you do a Google search for car insurance or whatever it is, because it's being tailored more precisely to the person who's looking for that data.
Because when you're going through Google, first thing that's going to appear is people who paid for ads, paid for Google ads. And that's not necessarily going to be the ones you're looking for or who's going to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing that change. Like, you know, Google, all the ads used to be down the side and organic search, real search results on the center of the page, you know, where people expect it. Now, in so many categories, if you Google car insurance or anything else, you're getting ads, as they call it, for the top of the fold, above the fold. So everything you're seeing on the page is an ad, and you have to scroll down to get to an actual search result that's based on organic search criteria that you expect on Google.
Yeah, and also, when you click in that ad, the first part of the URL is going to be a long link from the Google ad, so it won't be the proper URL which you're looking for as well.
Yeah. And that's how they make their money.
Yeah. Well, look, I can't complain about that, but it's handy if you can go somewhere where you don't have to go through all this to get what you want.
Yeah. And what I suppose we're bringing to the table, but simultaneously asking people for, is, you know, we're making the results more relevant.
Yeah.
Based on the data that you're giving. So if by giving the results, you know what you're giving, you're saying, well, I want to see a better leaderboard. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you a bit about me, and maybe not everything, but I'm just going to give you an idea. I live in a four-bed house, or I'm in my 20s for car insurance. So by giving that little bit of data, you get a better leaderboard, better results for people like you.
Yeah.
And then you can feed more data in over time as you get more comfortable and get more precise results then.
Yeah, because I think people want that information to be able, like that. They don't just spend hours trawling through. Like years ago on the net, you'd spend hours doing the search because the people, companies weren't actually based already ready to go online, fully online.
Yeah, yeah. And we do still see that as well, even, believe it or not, certainly with brokers and in some of the insurance categories. They're not been facilitated getting online, actually, in many cases. But they still give great value locally, you know, or, you know, even with brokers who've gone into court when somebody's been in an accident, you know, just for moral support. And, you know, those stories aren't been told. You know, people are just saying it verbally to people, but, you know, that level of service is something exceptional. And, you know, it's good that people are hearing about it. And that's the kind of thing we want to give people insights into. It's not just the price, it's the level of service or the level of knowledge. You know, sometimes a great broker isn't online, but they are telling you, look, I can cut something off your insurance, but I think your excess will be very high there. That doesn't cover a temporary vehicle. And I think you need a temporary vehicle because of your job. And they're the things that make a difference to people. So it's that those insights and the ratings are as important to us as this was the cheapest price I could get.
Yeah, and then before I finish off, tell me a bit more about your new contest you're doing, which is the Battle of the Bills in Home Insurance.
Yeah, what we actually started doing initially was we were doing raffles and prizes for people. So we did it with students to find the best broadband. We just went into the colleges and said, look, tell us the best broadband and we will give you money for voting. Another one that really took off was taxi drivers, just going to taxi ranks and saying, look, we'll enter you in a raffle. Tell us where you got the best taxi insurance. And they loved that.
Yeah.
So they're some of those active leaderboards we have. But now, rather than saying, okay, look, here's a prize for doing this, the value is there for people that we're running campaigns. And at the moment, we're looking for the campaign to find the best home insurance in Ireland, the best nationally and the best locally, and also the best car insurance. So we are running campaigns at the moment. If you're shopping around for or have just shopped around for car insurance or home insurance, go to Billwinner, look at the leaderboard. If you don't see whoever you bought from, say who you bought from, we will add that. And then you will get a reminder in a year that it's time to shop around again. And here are people like you who've shopped around. And this is what the current leaderboard is. So you can go with number one leaderboard or get some offers or shop around again and start with the top three or top five on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
So that's there. The beauty of that, I think, for a lot of people is that the home insurance is really getting to people in your locality. So you can see, for people living in my area, where are we getting the best home insurance?
Yeah.
And we're asking people, especially on a residence committee or talking to their neighbours about home insurance, go to Billwinner, sign up and say where you shopped around, encourage your neighbours to do it as well. And then you will get the best home insurance places, but also then we can start getting into best broadband or even best local services, best gardener, best painter, whatever it is. So we're really going down to the local level now and encouraging people to do that. And the same for car insurance, get more and more people with your type of car or your type of driving history.
Yeah, and also I'm thinking right now, but with the fact that in the next so many years, we're going to get rid of petrol cars and be going towards electric vehicles, people will be might still want to buy a second-hand petrol car. So it's good to be able to see, can you still get insurance for that car?
Yeah. That's it, yeah. Even knowing that you can't get insurance for if it's 10 years old now from a lot of insurers.
Yeah.
But crowdsourcing that data, so you're not wasting time then looking for insurance from a provider is not going to provide that insurance.
Yeah, I know somebody who's got a car that's basically, the car's from 2001 and it's still getting insurance because the car is low mileage and it's never an accident and it drives very well. But
yeah.
I think if they moved the insurance company, they wouldn't get insured in the car.
Right. Yeah. We'd love her on Billwinner to see if there's other people like that.
Yeah.
That if they have gone shopping around as much as possible, did they get an answer?
Yeah.
Or at least people knowing you just can't get that and posting that up as in the category for car insurance. Look, I'm not able to get this. And also we have a lot of brokers that are active on there trying to get recognition and an award for being the most knowledgeable broker. So if a broker can help answer that question and say, look, actually there is a small insurer that is doing insurance for older cars or whatever, that's the kind of help we want people to get as well.
Because I think it won't be long before the car is finishing the classic car. That's going to be
that's it. If you can hold on long enough.
Yeah. Well, the thing is the car still works and it's only to go around the city. It's not like the car's been used for long journeys. And as long as it works and it's in mechanical sound order, that's all you need.
Yeah. As you think, especially in this day with sustainability been so important that people be encouraged to do that with low mileage and a car that still works.
Yeah.
Keep on using it.
Because I think that's going to be, sustainability is going to become more important. Like in the future when you look at what's going on in 5 years' time, I guarantee a lot more of of the searches people are going to say will include, is it sustainable?
Yeah. And we're looking to do that in the energy sector, especially like, is this sustainable energy? That's an important criteria for people now that wasn't 5 years ago. Those decisions that people want, the more people we have, the more we can tailor the results then based on that.
Yeah. And lastly, before we finish off, are you using much AI to provide your search engine answers when they use your product?
Yeah, it's huge for us. But what we see is just, for us, jokingly, we talk about it as being about people versus machines.
Yeah.
So Billwinner is the people crowdsourcing from their community. with answers they can trust. And I suppose that the black box told me this. But actually, the key to good AI is that it's leveraging real data. So it's all about the data that the AI has been trained on. And the data isn't there at the moment for AI bots to say, well, the best place to go for car insurance is this, or the best place to go for home insurance or broadband is that. So you need that data coming from people who are doing the shopping around. And then we can use AI, and we're looking at it and experimenting with it at the moment, to then surface the data back to you. So you can have a conversation with Bill Winner and say, look, this is my profile. This is the things that are important to me. Where should I go? And because it's got all of that data then, it can give you the best answers.
Yeah.
But it only can do that with the right data and enough people get data.
Yeah.
And the other side then is that open banking is huge. That, you know, people are getting more banks now are saying, well, look, I can see you have a bill for energy. We have an offer for energy. But often that's driven by the commercial opportunity to the bank rather than, well, is that the best value?
Yeah.
And one of the things we want to do to increase the data is use open banking to get the bills that people are paying, but to genuinely show them then, well, for people who are with that provider, they save a lot of money by going to this top-ranked provider, or validating if you are getting an offer, is it really a good offer?
Yeah.
That also comes in another area we're launching in April based on groups. So the ability for people in a union or a professional body to say, well, I've been given an offer as a teacher or as an accountant, but is that really the best place for people like me to buy?
Yeah.
And again, that feeds into AI in terms of having lots of data about teachers or accountants or golfers or whatever it is, to be able to say, people like me use the offer that we get from the membership body, or actually, no, we're better off shopping around, and the best place is actually whoever that might be.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I say thanks for a great conversation. I'm going to just say, have a great day and good luck in future, Fikra, and take care.
That's great. Thank you, Ronan. Thanks. Appreciate that. And the opportunity to talk to everyone.
Thanks.
You can follow us on Twitter at @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/IrishTechNews, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.